Hey, 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to encourage you to open up. I really want this year to pivot as a church in one area. We're going to do a lot of different areas, but please, because I'm asking you as a pastor, I'll ask for a lot from you, please bring this. If you don't have one this morning and you didn't bring it, it's cool. There's a Bible in front of you in the pew. If you open it up and you turn to, and I looked this up, page 839, that would get you. Let's see what 839 takes to me in my Bible. Not even close. Yeah, no, we're not going to go there. But 839 in that pew Bible in front of you. Because as a church, like, we give Bibles away. We believe in the Bible. We read the Bible, read Scripture. Like, we believe in the power of God's Word. And if you're here this morning, like, I don't have a Bible and there's not even a pew in front of me to steal one. Like, lean over to somebody. I hope you showered or something. Like, I got some oil up here. We'll anoint you a little bit. You'll smell good. Just lean over on somebody and just have a little look at their Bible too. Because we've come here today to glean and to learn from this thing. You didn't come here to listen to Pastor Rob. You want to hear from heaven. And heaven wants to speak to you through his word. So we're going to be one of those weird, kooky churches that brings our Bibles every Sunday, and we open it, and then we read it. And we glean from it, and then we do what it says. We're going to really just try that this year. And so, like, I'm very passionate about this. I'm going to be at the front door and back door next Sunday. It's going to be two of me. I'm going to get my clone buddy here. Actually, my son. He looks exactly like. I'll put my son at the back door, draw a little beard on him, and he'll be there like, good morning. Where's your Bible? And I'm just, no, would never do that. But just, is that okay? Could I just really encourage you with that? Like, bring your Bible. If you don't have one, go to the Welcome Center, grab one today after, and then take it home, and then bring it back next Sunday, or just grab the pew Bible, that kind of stuff. The pew Bible's missing certain pages. I can't promise it'll all be there, but We're in 1 Timothy, and so just before we start giving some context of where we're going to read from today, I always like to just pray for a moment, so let's just be in agreement here this morning. So Father, as we hear the word of God, the truth of your word, would it minister to our soul and our spirit? Father, thank you that it has the ability to change outcomes. It has the ability to change our thinking and our own will and our desire to reshape that. And so thank you that it will do that. God, I just pray for our minds as well. It's so confusing sometimes and so lead us in wrong directions. I pray, oh God, that it would reshape our thinking. Would you set up guardrails? Would you help protect our mind so that we can hear clearly from heaven right now? We lay aside our burdens. We put aside our walls and our putting you at arm's length. We just lay that down now because we want to receive from heaven. We want to receive the truth of your word. So help us to do that this morning well. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen, when I say amen with me, amen means like, so be it. Like, let it be done. Amen. Like, yes, the truth. Amen. Let's look at it together. So in just a moment, I just want to give a bit of context before we jump in. Like, who's writing this book? One is helpful. Like, who's the receiver of what's being written? And give me some bit of context of when it's happening. And so we'll just kind of unpack that for a second. So Paul is the writer of this book, and he's writing to a friend of his, in a sense, a leader of a church. His name is Timothy. Now, Paul's story is he used to hate the church, hated God, hated Christianity, wanted them killed. Even got letters from religious leaders to go and have the church, like, basically executed, try to stop the church. And so that's when his name was Saul. And Saul hated God. And so he was going to a community named Damascus. And along the way, he had a letter to arrest Christians. Along the way, he encountered Jesus. And Jesus changed his life. A dramatic change in his life. I'm going this way against God. And now I'm following God, and God gives him a new name. His name becomes Paul. And Paul begins going around traveling. He's a traveling evangelist. He's planting churches. He's finding Christians. He's finding people that love Jesus. And as he's doing that, and he's raising up leaders, Timothy is one of those leaders. There's a church in Ephesus. He's maybe 30-ish. We can wrestle through that all you want. And Paul is writing to his friend Timothy to give him encouragement, to give him wisdom. Maybe here today, we're in a church setting, much like that church. We're here to glean and to learn what Paul is trying to teach Timothy, and I think we can probably all take something away from that. So as we look at this, it's the wonderful thing, just for a little bit of trivia here, is like, this is the first time in the New Testament it talks about generational salvations. Like he's second or third generation Christian. And so we're blessed by that. So like this is gonna be good. Like this is gonna be brilliant stuff. So we're excited to just look at it together. So what can we take away? What can we glean from that? And so 1 Timothy chapter 4, there's a certain heading here. But if we were just to move back to chapter 3, it says overseers and deacons. It kind of gives some advice about board members and people that are overseers. If we went to chapter 5, it would talk about advice for widows and elders, how to work with those within your church. And then right in the middle of that, though, there's something that Paul wants to teach Timothy that I think is just fantastic. And so we're going to break it into two parts here. I'm going to break it into verses 1 to 10. We'll read together, unpack it a little bit, and we'll finish 11 to 16 in a moment. So chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. You think about like an animal as they brand animals, like this is my animal, gets two X's, you know, it would brand it. You know, they were branded or seared with wrong teaching, being deceived, following demons. That's not a good thing. And these people, when they were deceived, they would say they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and whom know the truth. For everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Again, Paul's telling Timothy how to lead. Brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. That's such a cliche or a slogan, right? Rather, instead of following deception, instead of following demons, what should you do? Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has a value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, and we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. So we are to train, and we are to apply godliness, godly principles to our lives. That's what Paul is saying to us. That's what God would say to us. You hear the word of God, and you apply it to your life. You learn, and you train yourself like you would an athlete. It reminds me when we were in Calgary, we heard a sermon on Sunday. We went to Calgary First Assembly Church, and this wonderful message came through talking about leaving your nets behind. So if we went back to Matthew chapter 4, there's this great story about Jesus calling his first disciples. We see here Paul encouraging his good friend Timothy of how to live, and Jesus, before that, called people to follow his ways as well. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It says, Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake as they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed Jesus. Those people had a profession. They knew how to fish. They knew how to boat. They knew how to do that kind of stuff. They knew how to fix nets. They knew where to fish for fish, where not to fish. And all of a sudden, one day, they just let it all go. Just left it all behind. And they say, come follow Jesus. Wow, that is a radical shift in a moment, just like that. And so when we come to the word of God, it's the same way. I live this way. I have this idea of my life. I have my will and my agenda. And then you actually have to just let that go. It's almost like water baptism. You get baptized. I die to my ways, and I want to live for Jesus' ways. So you let that go. And you say, God, your purposes and your will be done in my life. That's what I want to follow. That's the principle here that we're learning. So there's examples, there's methods, there's principles, there's practices. And so what we need to do is really need to repent of our ways and follow Jesus' ways. It's almost like a reboot. If you ever had your computer and it starts going crazy on you, You're like, bloody thing. It's all like squiggly lines and all weird stuff. He's like, hit the reset button on my computer. You know, turn it off. You know, make it stop doing what it's supposed to do. Because we want to reset our lives so that we're focused on what Jesus is trying to say to us. And when I think about the Apostle Paul, you know, Saul, along his journey, he was going a certain way, and then all of a sudden, his life changed. We see this, people fishing, life changed in a moment. I think about my story on New Year's 2000. I was living a certain way, acting a certain way, and all of a sudden, I met with Jesus by myself in my bedroom. All of a sudden, the next day, I'm not the same person anymore because I encountered a living God. And so I think about what does that actually mean, though? Like, practically, application. You know, we can talk, we go to conferences, we read books, but like, really, what would it look like? And so when I was in retail, I didn't know Jesus one day, and the next day after New Year's 2000, I knew Jesus. You wear a little name band, you got your little lanyard on, you know, my name's Rob or whatever, right? And so I got this little lanyard. I know it's hard to see from back there, but it says, there's a heart, Jesus. I love Jesus. So I wore that around my neck every day. I didn't have to tell people that I love Jesus. They saw that I love Jesus, and they saw the way that I acted, and they said, there's something different about you. I said, and at that point, I honestly didn't know. I was like, I didn't go to church. I didn't know what's going on. I was like, I don't know. Like, something really weird's happened in my life. But it's something that you sometimes have a hard time explaining, but it comes out of you. Like in your workplace, in your family, in your wherever you go, wherever you spend time, whether you're wherever, when Jesus becomes a part of your life, people shouldn't have to ask you. It should be evident in your life. That you're like, I was just at church on Sunday, man, and this song, oh man, spoke to my heart. What'd you do this weekend? Like it shouldn't be like, oh, I'm afraid to say anything. Actually, I am afraid to say I'm a pastor all the time because it usually freaks people out rather than get. So what do you do for a living? I'm like, I counsel people, or like, I'm a leader, or, you know, because sometimes that does bother people and say I'm a pastor right away. But anyways, like, it should just come out of us. And so when we follow instructions or patterns or ways that Jesus lives and we learn from them, it reminds me as well, when I worked at Walmart as well, I just talked about that in my retail world, and wear my little Jesus, you know, lanyard. And in my department, so there's this little plaque here I got that's in my office. I got lots of things in my office. It says certificate of recognition for the store where I worked at in Nanaimo with the highest increase in the district. It was awesome. I got, you know, promoted and I became assistant manager. But what I did in the furniture department was, you know, when you walk in, there's boxes and you see a box of something, a little picture. You're like, what is that thing? And so you got to build it. So I'd build these things. You follow the instructions, right? And there's leftover parts and doesn't quite look the same. No, like, actually, I'm good at following instructions. It usually comes out okay. And so I would build all these things and then they would sell. And so it would increase. And so for some of us, it's easy to follow instructions. But honestly, for some, it's quite hard. We don't want to follow instructions. We don't want to follow a certain way. I have my way of doing things. And sometimes the results are challenging. So when we follow the Lord's ways, the results are good. The results will look like the box is supposed to look. We will look like we're supposed to look. I remember when I was there, it was the funniest thing. People would come in, they say, there's something wrong with your product. I can't figure it out. You know, the instructions are so wonky. Like, they'd invite me over to their house. It was the craziest thing. I'd go over to their house, I'd build the thing, and then they'd feed me dinner. Like, I'm in some strange dude's house, building the entertainment center, and then I get a free meal a day. I was single, you know, whatever. It was good. It was cool back in the day. I think today you probably wouldn't go into people's houses as much, or they'd invite you over, like, hey, he's a Walmart employee. He must be a safe guy. We'll get him over to our house, and he'll build this thing for us, right? Like, I don't know what they were thinking, but it was cool. I had some fun, had some interesting conversations. So following, practicing, you know, Jesus' ways, like, again, what would that look like for us? And so I want to just unpack a little bit more of the story here. So let's go back to 1 Timothy and give you some more applications, some more ways that I've kind of learned over the years. And so verse 11 to 16, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, your language, and in your life, the way that you live your life, the way that you love people. Man, love people well. Let's do that well. In faith, man, we got to have faith in Jesus. And in purity. We'll come back to that in a second. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture and to preaching and to teaching. Don't neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. But delight in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Like, there should be change in our life as we grow and mature, right? Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So when it talks about purity, and I'll go down a road here just for a moment. I will keep it G-rated, I promise. But reality is, like, the temptation is real out there. And don't kid yourself that it's only a male problem. It's also a female problem. There's this industry that is one of the biggest industries in the world, and I would love to put it out of business, because it is taking the sexual desire and making things really weird and twisted in our world. And so we could say here in Timothy, you know, Timothy's a young, single, I'm sure he's a strapping young guy, he's a leader of a church, you know. I'm sure there was temptation, like there was then as there is today, maybe it's a bit more today, to keep yourself pure. Well, what do you do with that? I can read that, and I can tell you that. But what do you actually do about that? Because we can even hear recently, in the last, you know, several months, a great leader, wonderful author, fell to sexual temptation. We think, what an idiot, right? But then we say, oh, well, what are you doing to protect yourself from letting something like that happen? Easy to point a finger. And so I bring, my wife's already smiling and laughing at this one. I bring my wife with me everywhere I go. Every time I go on a work vacation or I go fishing in the Yukon, I bring my wife with me. I put her up next to my side table. Good night, honey. And I honestly, I love you. I put her down. Let's pray for her. Wake up in the morning. Good morning, honey. Love you. Like, I seriously do that. I know you think I'm crazy, but everybody that's traveled with me, they know they do that. You've seen it. Okay, let's put her down. That might be a little bit distracting. So why would I do that, though? It's a bit crazy, and I'm a bit Robert C. crazy, middle name. I understand that. But, like, I am dead serious about this thing, because I love my wife, and I would never want to do anything that would jeopardize that. And so I bring her along with me, because temptation is out there. The enemy is wanting to take us out in these areas. And I don't ever want to trip and fall in that area. So I will set up guardrails in my life and accountability and do certain things so that I can protect myself. If you don't do anything, you are setting yourself up for a problem. So you have to do something. You have to smash your phone. You have to throw things out. You have to stay certain places. You have to avoid certain things. You have to do something to protect yourself, to be pure. Again, I don't want our church to just hear a good message and we don't actually do anything about it. Like, we actually have to apply the principles that we're learning here into our lives. This is just one small way that I wanted to just really hone in on today. I think it's a really important thing that we don't often talk about. It's so important. Okay, so out of that idea, though, it reminds me of in Galatians. So in Galatians chapter 5, we would read things like this. So it would almost piggyback to what Paul is saying to Timothy, and we would hear in Galatians as well. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Verse 19 first, The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. Already talked about that. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, man, that's up in your space, man. Holy chicken balls. You know, like, it's just like, wowzers. Like, that is just going crazy. Like, that, isn't that intense when you read that? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I want to protect myself. I want to have some guardrails up so I don't do that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not saying you're not going to, you know, that's not on me. That's the scripture speaking. What I am speaking, though, is so often we get to look at those, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to do this anymore. But what are you going to do? Like, Almi and I are about to start the new year off again. All this premarital counseling. All you guys getting married, you know, that's great. Good thing to do. And so in premarital counseling, we talk about that. What kind of baggage are you bringing into this marriage? And how are we going to address it? And how is that going to affect your marriage? That's We always keep just staying there, all this stuff and baggage. And yes, it's just repent, you deal with it. But can I encourage you? What are you putting in your baggage? What are you putting in that backpack? What are you putting in your suitcase? I want to put in some of the principles of God so there's no more room for all that other junk. We're gonna clean house, and we're going to push some things out as I follow Jesus. Because if your whole focus on, and I get this, I do this to you, like, I've got to get this out of my life. And you just focus on, and you're just like, this is the only thing you think about trying to deal with it. How's that going for you? Versus like, God's ways, God's yoke, God wants to teach me. He wants me to apply his principles to my life. So those other things, they won't become attractive anymore. I won't desire them anymore because I'm following God's ways. Which brings us to the very next couple scriptures here in verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Some of these, when you look at that list, you're like, they come almost naturally. You're like, I am very self-controlled. Actually, when we did a Myers-Briggs kind of thing, I was like, It was like right off the charts, this kind of chart of like discipline and all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, one day I'm like, you know, I'm just not gonna eat chocolate anymore. That would never happen. I just want you to know that. But I could seriously, in Jesus' name, God, that'd actually be pretty hard. But anyways, I could seriously, like, I'm that disciplined, I would say, no more. You know, and then I would be free of it. Now, for some of you, actually self-control is not that easy. You know, love for some of us, you know, you're just a loving person. I just love everybody, you know. They steal, oh, take my wallet, I just love you. Oh, shirt off my back, I love you. Like, some people like that. So others are like, you're not going to get a nickel out of me, you know. Like, and that's okay. But what are you going to apply to your life? What are you going to keep working on? What kind of things are challenging to you that you need to get better at? These are the principles and the ways that God wants us to live our lives. Because as we put those things and apply them to our lives, our lives look different. We'll be free from things. We'll be able to walk in a way that we couldn't on our own. See, there's certain things I feel like that hold us captive or like have bound us up. And there's like curses and we need healing and we need to throw things in the trash. But often we don't go to the things that actually could help us get to that place by applying these things to our lives. And that's my whole point and my whole message today. I just shared a couple of my own silly things that I do in my life to help me. I would just really encourage you, be thoughtful, because we're all different. My ways are not gonna help you, but you're gonna find ways that will help you to protect yourself, to guard yourself, to help yourself stay going in the right direction. We've gotta find those things. Don't kid yourself. Don't just coast, don't think I'm good enough. I got enough Jesus in me. I've got it's a daily wake up surrender. Like daily I wake up, like I see my wife, oh, I love you, honey. It's a daily, like, I need Jesus in my life today. Today, and again, don't focus on, oh, my life today is going to be so hard. Like, that's okay if you want to do that. But like say, God, I need the principles today to be loving, to be patient, to be self-controlled today. God, please deposit that in me. I want to carry that around with me today. I want to pick this thing up today. I want to bring it with me. The principles of God. I got the morals of God. I got the ethics of God with me. And then so when you see weirdness or things that are tempting, you say, no, that's not right. You know, that talks about following demons or doing things that are incorrect, as Paul was teaching Timothy. We don't go down that road. But as I look at this, I see, I know the road. I can see the road clearly. And that's not gonna be a blessing to me. It's actually gonna bring a curse on me if I do certain things. So I wanna follow his ways. I wanna close with a thought here. As I was listening to a song while we were in Calgary, and so poor Pastor Ben, I mean, I keep pushing this guy. I'm like, Ben, you wanna sing another song for me that you don't know? You know, you're so talented, this would be a piece of cake for you, right? And so I heard the song, and it talks about the word redeemed. And within the song, you're gonna hear it in just a moment, we'll have a time of reflection, it says this. Now, I'm not who I used to be. And you're not done with me yet, because you gave me a new name and a new life, and I am definitely not the same. And I have a hope that you'll carry me through this. I'm not like I used to be. I hope every year of your life you wake up and you kind of realize, like, wow, I'm not the same person I used to be. Thank God. God's brought me on a journey, and he's gentle in his process with me as I continue to learn from him. And he's not done with me yet. I haven't arrived. Still got issues. Still really crazy. Trying to work that out. Pray for me. But I got a new name. And I got a new life. And I'm definitely not the same because of it. And because of that, I have hope. No matter what comes at me today. I don't know what today looks like. I don't know what tomorrow looks like. But I have hope. And I have value. And I am worthy. And I am adopted. I am his son. And I am his daughter. Praise God. I have everything I need to do well in life. I have everything I need to make good decisions in my life. I have everything I need to be more loving. I have everything to be more self-controlled. Because I have Jesus inside me. Brilliant, eh? Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Ben's gonna come and just lead us for a few minutes. And so, Father, as we, I just sense Paul's heart for his young friend, his young leader, Timothy, the desire to help him to be successful in his career, to be a blessing in his position. And so, Father, we learn from that. We glean that. We want to apply that to our lives today. As I was unpacking this thought with somebody this morning, they said, we should maybe even have a garbage can up here today, and you would just write down the things that you need to be free from. You're like, I don't want to carry this anymore. I want to throw that in the trash. And then maybe you would be like, well, in spite of that, I'm going to pick up a new principle in my life. I'm going to learn and glean something today from God's word, and I'm going to apply it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit will show you, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you something that you can apply to your life today. As we just quiet ourselves in God's presence, I thank you that we've had time to reflect upon your word. We've had time to worship you. And now we just want to listen. Just want to be quiet in God's presence. We want, Holy Spirit, please speak to us today. God, we desperately need you. We are hooped without you. So be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.